Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 25. And this has to do with the Moabites
seducing Israel.
I mentioned this about they had a big victory, and then all of a sudden the Lord kept blessing them and blessing them. Kept telling Balaam to bless Israel, and then all of a sudden they just got, some got a little bit cocky, and so they started having sexual relationships with these Moabite women, and then God could curse them. Now Balaam could get well paid for cursing Israel. So let's all ask the Lord to bless this service. Anoint chapter 25. Father, we know that we're Israel. We're the real Israel. We're the spiritual Israel. We're the new Jerusalem. We're the bride. We're the body of Christ. We're the church. Those of us that really are not here trying to con anybody, that we're really filled with the Spirit, and we're really letting you do a work through us. And so, Lord, I know that this chapter here, we know that the Moabites are seducing. You stated in the last day there would be, know this, that there would be seducing spirits coming after spiritual Israelites, spiritual Israel. And they're everywhere. Lord, they're really, the more the gospel that gets out, the more that people... the more the devil hits. And that's why I tell people that they should really stay a hold of you, Father, you, Lord Jesus, in these last days, because you specifically stated that seducing spirits, there'll be lots of them in this world, and they are. They're bombarding people, and the more they get strong in the Lord, the more the seducing spirits come. But the more power we have from your word to keep us strong and to rebuke the devil. So, Lord, there's the seducing spirits within the church. So these Moabites are likened unto seducing spirits, because they seduced Israel to sin before you. And that song doesn't make any difference how victorious they were, or how blessed they were by you. If people allow themselves to be seduced by the seducing spirits in these last days, they're going to fall. They're going to wind up in hell and in the lake of fire. So, Lord, impress that on every hearer of this tape, every hearer of chapter 25 of Numbers, that it doesn't matter if you're the Lord's chosen people. I hear people, these false prophets, saying, heard some false prophecies, they're saying it all the time, that the Lord fulfilled the law, and so therefore now he saved us so that we don't have to obey the law. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it, to show the whole world that if God's Spirit is in you, that you can also fulfill the law. Because he tells us that, he says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Rest from your own work. But then he says, when we get saved, there isn't any good thing that we can possibly do to get saved except to come to him and ask for forgiveness for all of our former sins. But once we're forgiven, then he has forgiven us, and called us unto himself so that he can do a work of God in us. And he wants to do the work. But we have to cooperate. He says that he will help us, that the Holy Spirit will help us, and that the Holy Spirit is our helper. But we have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. If we don't make a determination in our life to walk after the Spirit, because it's written that there's no condemnation to those of us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Jesus, you said to go and sin no more, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so many people are saying that we have been saved so that we can go sin. The Apostle Paul said to that, God forbid. God forbid. And he says a lot more in that regard. But in this prayer, Lord, you're not leading me to say the entire scripture. And so I'll just go on in prayer the way you want. Now there are people, Lord, that are believing that they can sin and get away with it. But in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Lord, there's curses. There are blessings, and all the blessings that will happen, and we can see that when we do all the commandments of the Lord, when we actually don't believe that we can sin, and we go ahead and do the things of the Lord that you bless us, and when we think we can sin, then we're cursed. The Bible tells us that there's all these seducing spirits in the world today, and so we have to have the full armor of God on. We can't we have to work here in this world and not be lazy. And people say they just can't understand why, you know, they have to do that. We can't undermine the work of the Lord, because when we're doing that, we're undermining ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
But there are certain people that have come in that are they're carnal, and they're users. They use the church. And there's certain people in this chapter, chapter 25, that have come in and seduced Israel and caused many of them to sin. So, Father, let everyone learn their lessons, the lesson that you want them to learn from this chapter. Anoint it, Lord God. Let everything that is said be of you. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, chapter 25. Verse 1.
And Israel abode in Acacia, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Verse 2. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was
Israel says the whole country, the nation. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord also states that the Israel, that God would put them in a in these last days, he'd put them in the hands of people that will have no mercy on the old, nor will they have mercy on the young. They'll be taken into a country of a language that they don't understand, and they'll be a cruel people. This is what happened to them because of their rejection in Catholic-controlled Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Germany. And the people just say, oh God, never again, never again. Well, it won't happen again if you get right with the Lord and accept his only begotten Son. The arm of the Lord, it's very hard for people to believe the report of the prophets and receive the revelation of the arm of the Lord. Who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord, this is saying that who will believe that God is going to come to this world, the Almighty God in the flesh of a human being? Who could possibly believe that report? Who could the arm of the Lord, the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ embodied, the Holy Spirit, God the Father embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne, his spirit is everywhere, and he came down to this world in a man. Who can believe that report? And that he should die for the sins of the world, for those who accept him. Who? He said that the spirit in us is able to keep us from seducing spirits, to give us the power over seducing spirits, over our flesh, over sin, Satan, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, death, hell, and the grave. All these things the Lord gives us, and he came to the world to give them to us, to give us all the power to receive all the blessings from the Lord. And people that let the word of God go in one ear and out the other, they're not worth knowing. They're chaff. And they just never seem to learn. They never learn that seducing spirits are in this world and that they're hitting them every day, and they lie and cheat and beat out of work. They don't want to see the house of God prosper. They don't want the blessings of the Lord on the church. They give away property. They give away the things of the Lord. They abuse their privileges. They abuse everything that God has given them. And they wind up being cursed. It's just like people in the church that they lose their children. They can't even tell. He says that God will give them such detestable diseases that they can't even be healed from it. I just praise and thank the Lord for healing me. I just got my report that I am 1 point from being normal with my sugar diabetes. It's supposed to be 6, and I'm 6.1, right?
Right.
Oh, God, that makes me feel so good. Amen?
Amen.
I'm being blessed by the Lord now.
Amen.
Oh, gee, when I wasn't following the diet that the Lord gave me and told me to work out and things like that, I just went, I caught that thing, and now I learned my lesson. I have repented and have, kept myself on a fairly good diet. And I thought, I know that when you do what the Lord says, you'll be healed. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't go crazy, with food or not working out. Seducing spirits will wave cake at you. And not only 31 flavors, they've got so many flavors now today that you can't even count them all. Amen?
Amen.
It's like the sand of the sea. All right, then what? All right, everybody's into food now, Well, they've got these food people that are just sending recipes, and people are into eating and gluttony. Eating and drinking, the Lord said they would be into marrying, eating, drinking, having parties, dancing, singing. When the Lord comes back to earth, just before the big fire comes, just like it happened in the days of Noah when the flood came. And seducing spirits are just everywhere. Here's this kind of music, here's that kind of music, here's another kind of music. Listen to this, this is something new over here, listen now. Listen, don't listen to the Lord. Here's this kind of movie and that kind of movie. Here's this kind of short and that kind of short. We know that there's every kind of detractions, every kind of seducing spirit in the world now, trying to pull people away from listening to the Lord and doing what he says. Anybody that does that, they label them as like a cornball or a hasty or somebody, a stupid person, because there's so much of things to do. But none of them will give you eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
It's better to just stay humble and plain as you can get. It's plain, even more plain than plain Jane or plain John, okay? If I have to put on a pair of bib overalls, I'll do it, to just make it into the kingdom of God. All right, keep going.
And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.
Yeah, get all the leaders, the ringleaders. Then what?
Verse 5. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
They were in the wrong place. And then what?
Verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Verse 8. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly.
They were fornicating in there, and he put it right through his back and right through her belly, so that they're really joined together with that chaplain. Amen?
Amen.
I now pronounce you both, you know, shish kebab. Okay, what else?
So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel.
Okay.
Translation verse 1 through 8. Moab seduces Israel. While the Israelites were encamped at Acacia, some of the men defiled themselves by sleeping with the local Moabite women. Verse 2. These women invited them to attend sacrifices to their gods, and soon the Israelites were feasting with them and worshiping the gods of Moab.
They got all caught up. And then what else in that revelry? What else?
Verse 3. Before long, Israel was joining in the worship of Baal Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people. Verse 4. The Lord issued the following command to Moses, quote, seize all the ringleaders and execute them before the Lord in broad daylight, so his fierce anger will turn away from the people of Israel, unquote. Verse 5. So Moses ordered Israel's judges to execute everyone who had joined in worshiping Baal Peor. Verse 6. Just then, one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman into the camp, right before the eyes of Moses and all the people, as they were weeping at the entrance of the tabernacle.
See, when people are so glazed over by the spirit of darkness, they can't even, there's no embarrassment. They don't see anymore. They can't tell. You know, there's no shame in them whatsoever. They just sin right in front of the holy people of God. And they're obvious, and they must know that the axe is going to fall. Amen?
Amen.
They just go ahead and say and do whatever they want. And then, of course, the Lord comes down on the leader, like Moses, or whoever the leader is, and tells him, bring down the axe. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 7. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he jumped up and left the assembly. Then he took a spear, verse 8, and rushed after the man into his tent. Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body and into the woman's stomach. So the plague against the Israelites was stopped.
Right into her stomach. Then what?
King James Version, verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
24,000 people had to die. And then what?
Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
I bet they thought they were cool, huh? They're real cool, man. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy.
Well, wait a minute. I thought God was all love, that he just let you commit adultery and fornication and all that, and that Jesus came to die and take away, to fulfill the law so we don't have to keep the law anymore. No, he fulfilled it in human flesh to show us that we can do if the Spirit of the Lord is in us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I heard so many people saying this, from the Mormon to the Baptists to the Catholics. The Mormons do that. I was watching their channel just to see some more of the stuff. They were just preaching that to the heavens. So all those people, they dress real nice, they comb their hair nice, and they, you know, look real holy. They have an outward appearance and they have a dignity about them. But you notice that all the prophets of the Lord, even Jesus himself, were not dignified at all. And least of all myself, okay? I'm not a dignified type person at all. John the Baptist wasn't either. He used to walk around popping the head of grasshoppers off and popping them in his mouth, you know, like popcorn. That was his meat. And then he'd wash them down with honey, wild honey, that is. And Elijah was the same way. They had wild hair, camel hair on them, and probably all kinds of fleas, lice and stuff in there. They're probably snapping their heads off too. You know, Jesus walked around, you know, with sandals on. He didn't have, you know, wasn't what you call a fashion sheet. You know, there was no beauty about him that we should look upon him and admire his looks. And the same thing with Moses. This guy looked he did not look well groomed. None of them. None of the prophets. But these Mormons, they're just so respectable. And they don't have the spirit of the Lord. And I don't mock them for that. I am very sad. They need to become born again of the Spirit and stop preaching that false doctrine. Okay, because what they are the seducing spirits. They seduce people to make them believe that they can sin and get away with it. But the New Testament tells us that that isn't so. The Old and New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, sin no more. And he that sinneth, John said, is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And that all sinners, adulterers, fornicators, liars, thieves, effeminate, and fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Does that mean that you can still sin?
No.
Well, good. We have high IQ in this room. That's just, it's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Even I can understand that, right? All right? So that just goes to prove that I'm not as stupid as I look. And that these people that look so refined and so dignified, they're the stupid ones. Amen?
Amen.
Pity. Amen? Let's pray, Father God, bring the fear of the Lord to them. You can just see they just sit there and discuss things, long-winded speeches and everything, and it's so dignified. And then they see, you can hear them just preaching this false doctrine, and just see, they clear their throats, yes, that's right. I just thank Jesus for letting us sin. You stinking weasels. Okay, then what?
Verse 12. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Verse 13. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel.
Yes, so he went in and stabbed him all the way through, right through the back and the stomach, right through her belly. Okay, translation.
Translation, verse 9 through 13. The plague against the Israelites was stopped, but not before 24,000 people had died. Verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, quote, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and grandson of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites by displaying passionate zeal among them on my behalf. So I have stopped destroying all Israel, as I had intended to do in my anger. Verse 12. So tell him that I am making my special covenant of peace with him. Verse 13. In his covenant, he said his descendants will be priests for all time, because he was zealous for his God.
In other words, all those that are zealous for the Lord, that have zeal, will be priests after the order of the high priest Jesus forever. We are a nation of priests and kings that have zeal. Those that don't have any zeal, that lie and cheat and commit adultery and fornication and are homosexuals and lesbians and even think such things, those people are lost now and forever. Okay, especially after they've known and they've heard the Word of God, and they still love that doctrine that God saved us so that we could sin. What kind of a God would that be that would allow sinners, unrepentant sinners, into heaven? You must be without sin. No sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be without sin, spot, blemish, wrinkle, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, people hate someone that preaches that, but that's the way the Bible preaches it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
In his covenant, he said his descendants will be priests for all time because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the people of Israel. Unquote. King James Version, verse 14. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites.
That witch really tricked him. You know, she... That was a high price to pay for a prostitute. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, that's almost as bad as Jacqueline Onassis. Amen? That poor Greek half-wit that paid her millions of dollars just to be his dissatisfied, uncouth wife. And also this Princess Diana. Highest price whores going, and the people just worship them because they've been on the news. Okay, then what?
Verse 15, and the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. Verse 16, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 17, vex the Midianites and smite them. Translation, verse 14 through 17. The Israelite man killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, the leader of a family from the tribe of Simeon. Verse 15, the woman's name was Cozbi. She was the daughter of Zur, the leader of a Midianite clan. Verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, verse 17, quote, attack the Midianites and destroy them. King James Version, verse 18. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake.
All right, this is what... Balaam did. Alright? He caused it. He had to die too. Okay, what else?
Translation, verse 18. Because they assaulted you with deceit by tricking you into worshipping Baal of Peor, and because of Cozbi, the daughter of a Midianite leader, who was killed on the day of the plague at Peor.
Okay, that was the last verse of Numbers 25 and now we have some commentary here.
25 verse 1 through 18. The Moabites and Midianites seduced the Israelites into apostasy. The occurrence of this story immediately after the blessing of Balaam is striking. It puts the Lord's resolve, his resolution to bless Israel, to the test. This story has three episodes. 1. The apostasy, verses 1 through 3. 2. The punishment, verses 4 through 5. 3. Repentance by the majority and defiance by some, verses 6 through 13. 25 verse 4. The leaders of the people were the ones to be hung out in the sun. That is the first stage of the punishment, apparently for the leaders of apostasy.
Right, so... In other words, if you hang Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo and Hirohito, then everybody gets scared in those countries, you know? And even the guy that rings the bells, Kasimoto, right? Just hang that little hunchback up, all right? And then all the rest of them get scared, and then the Lord orders them to go in there and kill them. Amen?
Amen.
But first of all, he kills all these other Jews, right?
Right.
For being involved. Then what else?
25 verse 5. The judges are responsible to execute the apostates, the people who followed the leaders who were punished. Verse 4. 25 verse 6, presented a Midianite woman. Exactly what this means is that you are not to commit adultery. And it is
or fornication. All right, and then what else?
And it is apparently a matter of brazen defiance, an attempt to introduce an unbeliever into the most sacred aspect of Israel's faith, the tabernacle. It may also imply an effort to introduce the fertility cult of Baal religion with its ritual prostitution into Israelite worship. Note also, it is a Midianite woman, not a Moabitess. This sets up the vengeance on the Midianites in chapter 31. 25 verse 8, into the tent. The word translated, quote, tent, unquote, occurs only here in the Bible. It probably refers to an inner room in the tent of the Israelite where the couple were involved in the harlotry described in verse 1. 25 verse 9. The plague, as elsewhere, is a means of divine punishment, divine vengeance. 25 verse 12. Phinehas, by this act of zeal, becomes the next in line for the high priesthood. 25 verse 17. The Midianites, not the Moabites, are singled out for vengeance. Perhaps this is because the judgment on the Moabites was already given in Balaam's fourth oracle. 24 verse 17. 25 verse 18. The seduction of Israel at Baal Peor is attributed to the Midianites here. The Moabites attempted to curse by Balaam, which was unsuccessful. The Midianites attempted a more sinister plan, apparently on the advice of Balaam, who was now living among the Midianites. See chapter 31, verse 8.
Okay, read that.
Okay. Quote, and they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Unquote.
Okay, then what?
Okay. 25 verse 1 through 18. Even after God's victory over the evil intentions of Balak, the Israelites were quickly seduced into Canaanite worship. Through this story, we see how clever and diverse Satan's strategies are. When unsuccessful in his attack from the outside, 22 verse 1 and chapter 24 verse 25, he succeeded in bringing decay from within. Israelite participation in immoral Canaanite worship practices resulted in the judgment and death of 24,000 of God's people. This shows how important the personal morality of God's people is to him.
And actually, it shows more severity in the New Testament. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Talks of everlasting torment, hell, the lake of fire, your torment and smoke going up forever and ever. And so be careful, put on the full armor of God, defend yourselves, concentrate on the Lord at all times. You can hear this over and over again. Pretty soon your ears get glazed over and Satan comes and plugs your ears up to where you can't hear it any longer. And if you just keep reading these scriptures, it should, every chapter in succession should bring you up again. It's amazing how far people fall away from the Lord in just one day until they hear the message. And then they're just able to hang on. That's what it is. If you're reading the scriptures correctly, the proper ones, there's enough there to hold you up for a day. If you do not read the scriptures for a day, you'll fall. You'll be so weak that you'll fall. So make sure that you eat your spiritual food your energy, your strength and energy every day, and keep your mind on the Lord, because that's what's good is it to read it if you don't do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Think about it. Don't neglect thinking about it. Ponder it in your heart to be saved. And don't fail. Don't fail. That's Numbers chapter 25. I'll be doing chapter 26 later this evening or tomorrow, God willing. Until then, the Lord bless you very much, and praise the Lord always, without ceasing, pray.